Hello, and welcome to Pro U Podcast, episode number 260, Fruits of My Labor. You know, I've been kind of honing in on this one thing, like to be, you know, truly just me and have that have an effect on people. Like, that just sounds like the cool thing. You know what I mean? Like, that's what I want to do. You know what I mean? I got that quote actually from a little thing that was on Facebook about Tom Brady. And what's kind of cool is, well, it's just like we have data now. You know, it's like with live experience, we have session one, take a watch. Watch session 33 or listen to session one and listen to session 33. I mean, that's factual data that dude is a better version. Fact, 2 + 2 = 4. It wasn't overnight, wasn't quick, wasn't fun, wasn't comfortable. But there it is. There's proof. Can you be at your lowest and feel better? Yeah, watch that. Well, the same thing is true with the podcast. You know, here's a dude just started out a podcast going, hey, let's help people. And wound up here. Where now I'm not trying to do anything. I'm not telling people to do anything. I'm just sharing my story, my walk, my path. And just sharing my path has now become factual data. You know, I was going through a funk and all my stuff was coming up and I was slowing down and it was like, you need to learn about this stuff. You need to finally take that class in the school of Tom that you have avoided your entire life. Because after the spiritual journey, I'm like, okay, cool, I'm ready to go. I was like, nah, you got to learn some stuff. You're going to slow down more. What? You're actually going to slow down more and learn even more. What? And then I started getting it. And then it was just like things started to align. I'm like, okay, if none of that is in my control. And I learned all this when I slow down. And I'm okay to the point where realizing I'm okay is by far the best version I've ever experienced of myself. Is there any need to do anything different? No. Recognize that. Own that. Embrace that. You know what? I think if I'm this comfortable, confident, convicted, things are going to come, so I'm just not going to worry anymore. I should put that on a podcast. Well, that's kind of bold. And here's the story. Here's the episode. I talk about the fruits of that labor. Now, again, you know, this isn't an overnight podcast. You know, it's 3.5 years of some dude's life from 50 to 53.5. You know, that's a long journey. So he's starting out going, hey, you know, buckle up, hold on. This is a long ride, but it's about you. So get ready and begin. You know, Kyle could have been sitting around not had started yet. And he decided to start this past March. So that's the joy, is I put out, hey, you attract that which you are. You know, good's coming. I got to believe I have this worth and that good's coming. Not if good comes, then I have this worth. It doesn't work that way. It's like when you start working on going, if I lose weight, then I'll work out really hard. Who would say that? If you lose weight, then you'll work out? No, you got to work out really hard. Then you'll lose weight. Why would you work out really hard if you didn't have faith or belief that you could lose weight? You need some sort of incentive to do it. Get up, go to the gym, start doing it. Yeah, this works. I've seen other people go to the gym and work out and lose weight. I know it. My friend did it. My wife did it. You know what I mean? There's proof. I can do this. Well, it's the same thing with all this pro-U stuff, pro-U path. It's just that it's the path of self-discovery. So it's about you, and that's what's scary. And you got to go to your school to take that class that you probably don't want to take. But if you take it, you deem yourself worthy, you start believing in your worth, you will attract that which your is like. you will attract that which you are like. And if it's whatever you're looking for, then it will come to you. And when it came to me, it was like, oh, okay, this isn't permanent. I already lost one client and gained another and gained another client. It was just this like, okay, you're thinking right, poof. That's what it felt like to me. Why should? I'm good right now. I mean, I'm not tripping out, but I feel like I'm the best ever. Why is this thing avoiding me? Stop asking that question. Be thankful. Do that which you can. Focus on that which you can. Be thankful for that which you can. Make you a better you. Okay, I did that. How are you? I'm the best ever. Poof. Gifts. Fruits of my labor. Come to my well. That's the water I'm selling. Deem yourself worthy. That's all I'm saying. Just deem yourself worthy and start. You ain't got to be perfect. You never will be. But you got to start. And these things will come to you that you deserve. Enjoy. This is entitled, Three Yellow Roses. I walked into the grocery store, not particularly interested in buying groceries. I wasn't hungry. The pain of losing my husband of 7 years was still too raw, and this grocery store held so many sweet memories. He often came with me, and almost every time he'd pretend to go off and look for something special. I knew what he was up to. I'd always spot him walking down the aisle with the three yellow roses in his hands. He knew I loved yellow roses. With a heart filled with grief, I only wanted to buy a few items and leave. But even grocery shopping was different since he had passed on. Shopping for one took time, a little more thought than it had for two. Standing by the meat, I searched for the perfect small steak and remembered how he had loved his steak. Suddenly, a woman came beside me. She was blonde, slim, and lovely in a soft green pantsuit. I watched as she picked up a large pack of T-bones, dropped them in her basket, hesitated, and then put them back. She turned to go and once again reached for the pack of steaks. She saw me watching her and smiled. My husband loves T-bones, but honestly, at these prices, I don't know. I swallowed the emotion down my throat and met her pale blue eyes. My husband passed away 8 days ago, I told her. Glancing at the package in her hands, I fought to control the tremble in my voice. Buy him the steaks, and cherish every moment you have together. She shook her head, and I saw the emotion in her eyes as she placed the package in her basket and wheeled away. I turned and pushed my cart across the length of the store to the dairy products. There I stood, trying to decide which size milk I should buy. Quart, I finally decided, and moved on to the ice cream. If nothing else, I could always fix myself an ice cream cone. I placed the ice cream in my cart, and I looked down the aisle towards the front. I saw first the green suit, and then I recognized the pretty lady coming towards me. In her arms, she carried a package. On her face was the brightest smile I had ever seen. I would swear a soft halo encircled her blonde hair as she kept walking toward me, her eyes holding mine. As she came closer, I saw what she held, and tears began misting in my eyes. These are for you, she said, and placed three beautiful long-stemmed yellow roses in my arms. When you go through the line, they will know these are paid for. She leaned over, placed a gentle kiss on my cheek, then smiled again. I wanted to tell her what she'd done, what the roses meant, but still unable to speak, I watched as she walked away, as tears clouded my vision. I looked down at the beautiful roses nestled in the green tissue wrapping and found it almost unreal. How did she know? Suddenly, the answer seemed so clear. I wasn't alone. "Oh, you haven't forgotten me, have you?" I whispered, with tears in my eyes. He was still with me, and she was his angel. Every day, be thankful for what you have and who you are. Author unknown. I love those things. I love how they make me feel. I love that they make me feel. And I love reading them. But they're sometimes challenging for me to get through. I hope you are healthy and happy. And this episode of my Pro You podcast finds you well. Here are 15 things you probably never knew or thought about. At least 5 people in this world love you so much they would die for you. At least 15 people in this world love you in some way. The only reason anyone would ever hate you is because they want to be just like you. A smile from you can bring happiness to anyone, even if they don't like you. Every night someone thinks about you before they go to sleep. You mean the world to someone. If not for you, someone may not be living. You are special and unique. Someone that you don't even know exists loves you. When you make the biggest mistake ever, something good comes from it. When you think the world has turned its back on you, take a look. You most likely turned your back on the world. When you think you have no chance of getting what you want, you probably won't get it. But if you believe in yourself, probably, sooner or later, you will get it. Always remember the compliments you received. Forget about the rude remarks. Always tell someone how you feel about them. You will feel much better when they know. If you have a great friend, take the time to let them know that they are great. A minute. They say it takes a minute to find a special person, an hour to appreciate them, a day to love them, but an entire life to forget them. Awesome. I like that as well. I picked 3 things to read, kind of all. Very diversified. 5 advantages of drinking water in the morning. Number 5, drinking water on an empty stomach purifies the colon, making it easier to absorb nutrients. Number 4, increases the production of new blood and muscle cells. Number 3, helps with weight loss. But don't, what's that? Number 3 does what? Drinking water helps with weight loss? Drinking at least 16 ounces of chilled water can boost your metabolism by 24% in the morning. That should be number 1. Number 2, glowing skin. Water helps to purge toxins from the blood, which helps keeps your skin glowing and clear. Not a bad thing. Drum roll, number 1. Balances your lymph system. These glands help you perform your daily functions, balance your body fluids, and fight infection. Very importantente. All right, I had, I don't even call it a prediction. I just want to say put it out there. Again, I don't know what episode it was. Totally lost my train of thought. Right there. Did you catch that? See that? I'm not going to go back and edit. Here I am. I put out a kind of a statement saying you attract that which you are. And, you know, I go, you know what I want, you know, because for a year and a half, you know, it's been this spiritual path, not human things, not kind of going after money, not career things, relationships, all this and that. And then I was like, okay, I slowed down. I get it. You know, want, you know, make a little money, get some more clients, and it wasn't happening. And there was just this period of not doubting myself. It was just weird to me. Like, I know I'm good. I know I'm better than before. Why am I not attracting clients? Why am I not getting to that neck? I was like, I'm ready. I get it. But it didn't happen. I slowed down more. And I would have paid to have learned what I've learned during this past year and a half, and especially the last 6 months, and especially the last 3 months, you know, going through Zen and, you know, his medical issues, and then the dental and the broken nose and the money, and really slowing down, having way too much time to think about all those things. You know, I never would have predicted walking away going, wow, it was amazing what I learned. Everybody slow down. Everybody spend some time in quiet. This is the key. This is the key to it. Like, I'm just yelling and screaming and yelling and screaming. And then I was healing and moving and running again. And Zen was healing and moving and running again. And the beach came back into our life. I started feeling better. And, you know, poof, went to the envelope to see how the you know, saving for rent was going. And it was there plus more. And I was like, well, I haven't got any more clients. All I've done is kind of reduced my overhead. And that was kind of empowering. You know, knowledge is power. And I was like, well, I can keep doing what I'm doing. And I'm like, I'm not really working that much. I'm like, well, what's wrong with this? Like, why am I forcing change or being frustrated or being worried right now if there's nothing wrong and I got this great life if I look at it from the outside? You know, you're working out, you're running, you got a dog, you have plenty of free time, you go to the beach, you know, everything you're doing is, you know, kind of at a cool level, you're enjoying it, you feel, you know, convicted, comfortable, confident. I mean, why do you want anything different? So then it was just like, as I healed, due to time passing and me embracing the quiet, I became a better version, so I felt better, so I had more clarity. And I'm like, well, it's just not my time yet for that. That will come. I'm just going to keep working on me, keep working on the fountain, which is almost going to be the title of this episode. I was going to call it The Fountain's Getting Better. I mean, it's just obvious. It's like, you know, I know me, the fountain I am. I know it's better. It does not matter if I'm making less or more money, less or more famous, less or more followers. It does not matter. I know I'm a better version of me. And there's peace and there's strength in that confidence. And that worry and doubt you kind of push away. And I was able to think about right now. How are you right now? And I got that from AA. I talk about it all the time. And I was like, you know, I'm doing this thing right now. I'm not even thinking about tonight. I'm not even definitely thinking about tomorrow, next week, or, you know, a month from now or whatever. Finances, I just was like, wow, this is kind of cool. Like, I felt this shift again. Because, like, you know, money was kind of like, well, what if I spend it all? What if I do this? What if I don't have it? What if, you know, just this fear. And when that was put out, again, fear is gone. There's quiet. There's peace. There's tranquility. There's clarity. Then there's this perspective shift. And it's like, well, I knew I was better. This stuff's going all really well. Like, I just felt good and had these great moments. And I talked about those and, you know, with some clients. And I was just like, I'm going to put out this good vibe. And I just believe, you know, I want to start speaking. I want to do online clients. I'm going to get this book going. You know, these are things I'm putting out there. These are things I'm going to pursue. These are things that are going to happen in time, in their time. I'm just going to keep working on me. And I felt that really confidently for the first time, probably ever. That's like, don't stress. You're going to be okay. So I was just feeling good. It's going to be even hard to say. Feeling good about myself. Feeling good about my output, what was coming out of me, my product, how I spoke to people, how convicted I was when I spoke to people. And did episode 250, Joe's Journey, and, you know, talked to Joe right before it came out, and he was super pumped, and, you know, just we had this great, great conversation, and, you know, it meant a lot to him, and I just, you know, the whole time it was like part of me was just witnessing, going, wow, dude, you got a great life, look who you get to be, look what you're doing, look how that guy feels, look at that guy go, look what that guy feels, you know, it's like, you're part of that, you could, you know, it's just, you know, outside looking in, just cheering. And a little while, you know, later, I had posted the episode on Joe's timeline on Facebook, and, you know, friends and relatives that no idea what Pro You Podcast is, probably didn't know Joe was a listener, or I mentioned him before, Halston saw the link and were listening and making comments, and Joe sent me this beautiful text, and it just warmed my heart, and he just said, hey, you know, there's people listening, and everyone is crying the first 2 minutes. They said, you know, you have a nice voice to listen to, but overall really positive. And it was just this like, oh, here's some people that don't really listen, that listened. And here's what they, so not that it mattered more or less, but it just how it sounded was worded. It just, and I'm like, and I don't really go back and listen. I've said that before. Don't really edit. I'm pretty comfortable with pauses and mistakes, and I'm like, okay, I'm not perfect, so I don't really go back and listen, and if I do, it's for a reason, you know, something technical or something. It's not, well, let's see how this feels or sounds. And, you know, I've done 260 of these, so it's like, hey, what was that one about? What did you also, you know, talk about different things, and I couldn't remember what the first opening was to episode 250, so I went back and listened to it, and, you know, just press play like a regular listener, and I listened to the intro, and I was like, all of a sudden it was like I was a listener. I was like just going, okay, what does this guy sound like? And I'm like, well, I liked my voice, I liked the tempo of how I spoke. I mean, I was like, you know, I could tell, like, this guy bugged me. Is his voice bugged me? Does he talk too fast? Is he too loud? Is it this? Is it that? And, you know, it was peaceful for me to listen to myself, which is typically is not, because, you know, whatever, I'm critiquing it or I'm judging it in my, or whatever. But I was just listening to it. And then it went into the episode. And it talked about how this teacher had her class write down something special about everybody in the class, and how later in life it came back that this was this very special list to all these students, and they had kept it, and they ended up meeting at one of the students' funeral who had gone into the military and had passed, and at that funeral they started all explaining it. So I was listening to my podcast talking about this story that I had read and recorded, and I started tearing up. Okay, so this is where it gets funky. I believe it's really hard for us to love ourselves. I believe it's really hard for us to like ourselves. I believe it's really hard for us to be proud of ourselves. And this was kind of the first time I had felt this in this way. But I was pretty proud. Like, if you just fast forward my whole life, episode 250, and you had the first few moments recorded, and you sent that back to me when I was 10 or 15 or 20. Said, that's you talking. That's you talking about life. That's you sharing a story. And I'd have been pretty happy that that's where I ended up. I mean, I really liked it. And that's what I'm saying. I'm not trying to brag. I'm not trying to boast. I'm just saying that's something I've just never really said a lot of. Or felt it, that, like, that piece, like, that was, I liked that, like, that moved me, and I read it, and that's me talking, and it just, you know, it was like, and again, when you're just taught to feel bad all the time, and you go to school, and, you know, you don't fit in well, and you feel bad, and you're always, you know, a little frightened, a little nervous, a little, you know, scared, and that turns into anxiety and worry and doubt, you know, that's just with you for as long as it was with me. It's pretty dope to experience these moments. when your heart just gets filled up. And it gets filled up because you know the hole that was there before. And you know the time and energy and work and choices that you had to make. So when I'm listening to episode 250, I know what I put into for the first 48 years of my life prior to having any podcast. The 7 years of Sunday morning messages I sent out, and the last 5 years of working on me. And then we get to the podcast where it was about me helping people, and it turned out to be me healing and me sharing my journey of healing. And to be again at that point of, you know, feeling convicted and confident and comfortable, and to the point where I share everything now. And then people listen and they tear up that don't know me or really know the story. It was just, like I said, it was, I just had this awesome moment. I just sat there and I was like, this is just so cool. And again, it was just that level of pride. And I want to be able to say it, even though it's uncomfortable, because I know it's hard for people to say that. And I got clients that just struggle with admitting that they're good at stuff. It's just hard. It just really, really is. And it shouldn't be that way. Well, I was doing my thing, and a woman who had reached out, and I had mentioned this, had kind of a rough story. We chatted. I said, do you feel better? She said, yes. I said, well, you proved to yourself that you have that ability, because nothing has changed in the last 40 minutes since we've chatted. I said, would you like to chat again next week? And she said, yes. And I said, write a gratitude list, write a startup pro you list. It's okay. 7 days later, we chatted again. So already, her not giving up, her perseverance demonstrated her strength, demonstrated that she's not going to give up, not going to go away easily. And then she's showing that she's accountable and she's responsible and she's being appreciative. And, you know, we didn't talk about money or, you know, becoming a client or nothing. And talked the second time, and how do you feel? And she goes, well, I'm better. And she chatted a little bit, and I said, well, let's just cut it down to that. I'm better. And I'm like, well, we talked once and you said I'm better. And we talked in 7 days and you said I'm better. And I was like, ta-da, is that what you say next? Like, what? And then we were laughing. And in that moment, I'm like, this is just so cool, again, that I get to be me. And it's not this cocky, arrogant thing. It's just, I just feel comfortable, like I'm doing what I'm supposed to be doing. I'm in my groove, you know, I'm in my zone. And everything's just flowing, and I feel good. And I said, well, and next thing you know, she's like, well, okay, I'll hire you. And I thought, well, there it is. The client that for some reason I could not get and kept thinking I was going to get for months and months. And why? What was wrong? What was I not doing right? What should I do better, more of? I feel great. Why can't I get a client? Poof, there she was. So it's not always in our time that these things happen, that our prayers are answered. It's just not in our time. And if you stare at that time, waiting for that time, it's not a good way to ride that path. So I'm just going to work on me. That's what I said. I was going to work on me. Those things will come. I put that out there. I said it. I go, I'm just going to put it out there. I'm good. Clients, money, that's coming. I'm just going to keep working on me. I'm going to make my fountain the best fountain. And here they have the fruits of my labor. Got off the phone. She says, okay. And I was like, just, again, there was just this moment of, I haven't sped up. I haven't worked harder. I haven't worked faster. I haven't worked more. I've embraced the slow time. I've embraced the quiet time. I've embraced the downtime. I learned what I was supposed to learn. And I think these breadcrumbs come along to keep going, hey, you're on the right path, you're on the right path. And then you get the big one. Poof. And I'm like, phew. And it was more, it's like literally wasn't really about the money. Because, I don't know, to me, just training and helping people and all that just isn't. I just want to help people. And I'm like, well, I should be helping people. So there's people out there that need help. And I should be talking to them. I should be helping them. I have the time. But it's shifting that whole perspective. And again, so got this other client. And where he is in his life, he's a doer, mountain mover guy. I love him to death. And he finished a big project, and now he's in between. He's got to take some time off and have some downtime, and that becomes the challenge. And I said, you know, getting good at downtime and staying out of your head can become, you know, it's like an art form. It's not easy, and people don't do it. I mean, his last job has lasted for, you know, over a couple years. That's a long time to be going, working. Then, okay, stop. You have nothing to do. Go. One thing he's doing is working out. And I'm like, that's great. And he goes, I want to just really hit it hard. I'm like, that's perfect. So I thought, that's the one of the best ideas to have. In the interim of being busy, I'm going to work out a little bit harder. I'm going to get in a little bit better shape. And I'm like, well, if you get in better shape, are you not prepared for anything and everything that might come along? And he just smiled. I'm like, yeah, of course. So love where I am, love what I'm doing, love my fountain, love what's coming out, and don't really care where it's landing. So I mentioned my good friend Scott a lot. Love this dude. And he reads a lot, and then he tells me things, so it works out awesome because I get to quote him. But he made this analogy, you know, shared this analogy with me. It just made so much sense. I just loved it. So I'm like, oh, I got to share that. So when I'm talking about, you know, yellow and purple, you know, yellow is, you know, I'm thinking about the bad, I'm in a funk, I'm feeling this yuck right now, I'm complaining, I'm whatever. Purple is like, okay, this is what I'm thankful for, this is what I'm working on, this is what I did today for me, this is how I'm becoming a better me. Okay, there's that divide. And a lot of times with clients, I said, look, if you get that where you're like, you know, I'm having anxiety, you know, just stop for a second. Pump the brakes. What is this? Why? What am I experiencing? Just, you know, is there a saber-toothed tiger to attack me right now? Another thing I got from my friend Scott. And, you know, and he said, so there's this thing he read. And he says, you know, we're in that panic mode or that anxiety mode or that worry mode or that fear mode. It's like you're standing underneath a waterfall. And I knew exactly what he was going to say next. I got all excited. I'm like, oh! And he says, when you stop and go, okay, wait a minute. Like I said, look, the feelings are real, but they're only temporary. Just step back quick. How are you right now? And he says, as you step back, you step out from under that waterfall. And I was like, that's just a perfect analogy. Because I've done, you know, like with, you know, you go to people's pools and they got those waterfalls. They kind of massage your back. And, you know, some are a little harder. But, you know, I've been to those places where you can walk behind the waterfall. And it made such sense because, like, if you step forward, that water is going to pound on you and it's not going to be fun. And when you step back, it's still there. You can still see it. But you're not in it. And I love that. I said, I gotta share that. So I'm training my friend Scott, and I have this thought in my head going, I would just love to record training him because he's in good shape and he wants to work hard and he works hard. And this gym where we're at has just got a bunch of options. I mean, it's got, you know, one kind of multi-cable machine, that's it, but foam rollers, balls, tubing, dumbbells, benches, treadmills, elliptic, not that big, but it's like just big enough. It's just, it's like perfect to me. It's one of my favorite places I've ever trained anybody. And I don't know how many times I've trained Scott, but it's like every workout's completely different. Like I'm just coming up with stuff, making up stuff. You know, I'm just having a blast. And I thought, this is something I mentioned, but I was driving home one day going, man, why don't I feel this good all the time? And in time, I am. But I just enjoy being there. And I'm training Scott, and I have this thought going, I would love to record this and then show this to people. Because it's just this high level. you know, I'm not doing the workout. I'm not doing the stuff. It's someone else. It's a client, but it's me being a trainer. And it's just, you know, one to the next, to the next, to the move and circuits. It's just, I love it. So the next time I train him, which was yesterday, 2 days ago, guy walks up as we're kind of walking out in the area to jump rope. He goes, I don't want to interrupt, but you're a trainer. Yes. He goes, yeah. He goes, my name, when you're done, I'd love to talk to you. I said, yeah, no problem. And I turn and look at Scott. I just smile. So train, get done with Scott, meet with this guy. And he started, it's so funny now because he started talking and I was like, check, check, check. I would want him to say that. I would want him to understand that. That's a perfect thing. And at the end I said, well, this is what I hear you saying, that you've worked out hard, but there's ups and downs, peaks and valleys, and you're a place now. Would you like some stability? You'd like to learn how to do things, not just really hard, high intensity, and then stop for 3 months because you did good, but things that you can do, you know, on a weekly basis that will make you fit, functional, feel good. He's in his 50s. And he's looked at me and he's like, okay, how about Wednesday? So when I go there with Scott, I'll just go there earlier. So I don't have to drive twice. I just go there. Now I train two people. Just putting it out there. I'm going to get clients. I'm not going to worry about that. That wasn't me my whole life. You know, I had a bunch of things, but it wasn't like, okay, I'm slow, but I'm the best I've ever been. I'm not surging forward in a career. And, you know, I'm obviously the oldest I've ever been, but I've never been this good at being me. My world has become smaller and it's way easier to be me in my life. That became the focus. So when I had more time, it's like, well, I must need more time. Well, I've got more time to think. Well, I must need to think more. I've got more time to be in quiet and learn. I guess I'm supposed to learn more. I mean, I really started embracing that more and more the longer this quote-unquote spiritual journey that was supposed to go from 52 to 53, 12 months, and end on a dime. And here we are. That was March, April, May, June, July, August, September. Now we're in, you know, almost into October. And I'm like, the last 2-3 months, I'm like, oh, this is amazing. Like, I would have rather had my last 3 months than have done anything else. And, you know, spent my savings. I was injured. I was not even going to go into it anymore. But, you know, Zen was hurt, you know. And you think, really? That was your, you like what I got from it. What I learned from it. See, and that's something I've always been able to kind of do and tell people, try to tell people. It's like, now take that. You know, you got through that battle. You built armor. What's that armor for? The next inevitable test. You got through that test. You got that knowledge. Okay, when I slowed down, I got better. When I embraced it, I learned this really cool stuff that made me better. And I was like, yeah, I'm not that tripping about money because I think it's going to come because I just know I'm better. And if it hasn't come yet, then it's not the right time. I'm just going to keep working on me. I'm going to keep working on my fountain. I want what comes out of me to be the best, but I also want it to come out of me and flow freely, not judged, not critiqued by myself. And then again, not care where it lands, if it splashes, if people applaud, if people are watching it. And that was kind of like with the podcast. If I tried one way and it didn't work, and I'd try another way and some people didn't like that, I mean, how would I adjust it to get people? I'm like, I'm just going to do me. Now, if people don't like it, okay. If people do, then okay. But it's if you just keep it simple, be you. Be truthful. Keep it small, linear. Then it's just one step. It becomes Zen. Just do the one episode. Okay, people listen and do the second episode. You haven't got fired yet. Do the third episode. It's So I had to go through all the things that I went through to slow down enough to become Zen-like, to understand what was important, omnipotent, vital at this phase, at this stage, at this point in my pro-you journey, was just to learn about me. I always talk about that. You got to go to your school, take that one class you don't want to take. I hate slowing down. Yep, that's the class. I hate being alone. Yep, that's the class. You know, I binge eat at night. Yep, that's the class. You know, can't stand my mother. Yep, that's the, you know, there's one class you got to take that's in your school for you to be a better you. You don't want to be a better you. You can make money. You can survive. You can thrive. You can do a bunch of stuff. But if you want to be a better you, better at being you where your life as is becomes easier, you got to take that class. And again, I'm not bragging because I took the class. I picked the class. No, I didn't pick any of this. I didn't orchestrate any of it. And that also, to me, became a little benefit going, you know, it's not all on us. I got to do this. I got to figure out the perfect time to slow down and then learn this really cool, deep spiritual stuff. No, probably not what's going to happen. Probably life's going to throw some stuff at you and you get to choose how to respond. And when you start choosing how to respond, you start realizing that that is your one true power. You know, picking that thought, okay, what do I want to think? What do I want to feel? Okay, after the impact, now I get to pick, now I get to choose. These are the choices. When I got home that day, I had a slight exchange with my new client and just said, hey, you know, looking forward to it, pleasure meeting you. And he sent the same back. Took a screenshot of that, sent it to Scott. And I said, this is because of you. Thank you. I can already hear you. So shut up, Scott. Number one, I'm a better me because of you. Number two, I started focusing on different things, setting some goals because of you. Number three, I would not be there at that gym without you. Number four, training someone who kills it like you is the best commercial. That just happened. So yes, I'm right, Scott. He replied, all right, you're right, I am awesome. I said, finally, that took forever. Hashtag LOL. But what was hitting me was, you know, a month and a half ago when it was like, okay, you know, time to make money, time to pursue, you know, income, come up with a marketing plan, financial strategy, something. And I did the exact opposite. I just stopped thinking about money. Literally for the first time. And it was mainly because I, you know, did a little 4-week test and when I went to check the envelope, hoping there was enough for rent. There was enough for rent for the next 2 months. I said, well, I really don't need to worry about that then, do I? And that's how I honestly felt. I thought, well, if that's the one thing that I was holding on to, and, you know, again, not perfectly, not 100%, but I let go of way more than ever before, what will I do with that extra time and energy? Well, what if I just keep putting it into me, making me a better me? So if I'm not where I am, mentally, emotionally, spiritually, physically, in that moment, training my good friend Scotty, I'm not selling what I'm selling. If I'm stressed, I'm overwhelmed, I'm down, maybe I'm not walking proud, screaming loud, shoulders back, chin up, going, conviction, comfortableness, confidence, right here, boom, look at this guy. And in that moment, like I said, I was like, man, this would just be a great thing to record and show people, going, this is what's possible. Training with Tom. And in walks a dude, sees it, happens. But again, you know, I had that, I love this part about me, where I was like, yeah, he could train once and not ever train again. It just showed me the possibility. And it showed me if I focused on me being the best me, the other things will come. And about two or three episodes ago, that's what I said. I said, I feel good. So I'm just going to put this out here. This is where I'm headed. This is what's coming. And I'm going to continue to focus on me. So that's my story. I've been kind of saying this forever, but I kind of go, I'm on a corner with like a megaphone saying one thing. So if I got three clients, one client, five clients, I talk to a friend, I call someone, I'm saying the same thing all day long. You know, people can walk by really fast. They can run by, they can walk by slower. They can stop, pitch a tent, pull up a chair, kick their feet up. But I'm not really changing what I'm saying, because I'm really telling people what I'm going through. I'm sharing my story. So a client who I talk about all the time, and he's just a great client because he's like your average person, heavily flawed with the big voice. But the dude has never quit. And I've had a bunch of people start, shine, be wonderful, and then quit. And Evan's still here. And I dig that and respect that about him. So he's one of the cats in LA, does a job, then he's in between jobs, gets a job, does another job. You know, it's kind of how TV and movies work. So I've always talked to him about the in-between. What are you doing in the in-between? And a lot of times he gets a little worried about the next job, a little stressed about money, like we all do. And then things kind of go physically wrong, or it's sleep, or it's that, because there's stress. So he's carrying that weight that affects him physically. So he never really improves another level of himself in the in-between. He's kind of always holding on. Gets a job, starts making money, starts getting organized, things get going, boom, everything works well. Well, recently he's just, again, a ton of improvements and a ton of changing, where you can just recognize, again, this is a different dude. So he walks in yesterday morning and he goes, yeah, funny thing happened on the way here. So all fired up, and then I kind of sunk down in this thing, and I pulled up, and I'm like, that's kind of funny, I'm fine. And I came up here, and I was like, okay, that wasn't him. Okay, stop apologizing. Next time you apologize, it's 10 push-ups. I started because of Evan. First session, he apologized, I don't know, like four or five times. I said, okay, that's enough. Like, the things you apologize for are your fault. And he doesn't apologize anymore. So I know he's changing, and I see his growth, and I love him. He's a great dude. But I see the potential in him. You know, you're a, you know, a producer. You handle things. You get things done. You just got to take those skills and apply it here. That's what I've always kind of said to him. You know, molding the clay, and he's moldable clay. And the closer we get, the more excited I get, the more fired up I get. So he rolls in, and he's like, you know, he's not really sleeping great, and he's just been kind of tired, not really sure why, but the biggest thing is I'm going to try not to beat myself up. Hey, this is in between time, and you should be doing more, and you're not. Why, you know, because that just makes all that worse. And I just started talking to him, and I said, you know, you just got to get comfortable being uncomfortable. Like, after everything you went through, you know, your job and the things he was kind of going through, and you know, this, like, I'm just kind of tired and beat up could be just residual from that. So you're just supposed to deal with what you have and slowly move forward. But start checking those boxes about working on yourself. And I just said to him, I go, look, if you're a 6 out of 10, you're going to attract a 6 job. I go, if you're an 8 out of 10, you're going to attract an 8 out of 10 job. What would you rather attract? Rhetoric, of course. But he's tracking with me, you know, he's seeing with me. And I'm like, well, the things you've done lately at work professionally are because you're a better version of you. Yes or no? Yes. Boom. No hesitation. Cool. Still tracking. Great. Finished a job. You knew there was going to be this break. And let's just talk about the 4 or 5 things you're doing that you've never really done, that you're doing consistently, Are you managing, planning, logging your food? Yes. Are you watching your portion control? Yes. Are you buying and prepping food? Yes. Are you consistently working out with me? Yes. Are you doing your own, you know, workouts, cardio, stretching? Yes. I go, okay, well, there's five things you're doing great. Now, I get why you don't feel good. But it's like, you know, be thankful in all circumstances. You're not saying I'm thankful for all circumstances. So I'm not saying, now don't feel great when you're like, I'm tired, I'm beat up, haven't been sleeping good, and I'm kind of sore. But I'm saying you should be, switch that flip and, you know, flip that switch and smile. It's like, that's just where I am because of. Or I don't know why, but this is where I am. This is my car, is how I feel. But let me focus on these things. And as I start talking to him, he's kind of smiling again. And I said, there it is again. You consistently prove that when you think about this stuff, you feel better. I said, if for 4 weeks you just hunkered down, planned, ate, portion control, no cheating, no this, that, 4 weeks solid, do you or do you not think you would be a better version of you? Yes, again, just answers. And I'm like, so let's just say I can predict you're going to get a job in X amount of time. Guaranteed. What do you want to do in the between? Until then. He goes, I guess get ready. And I was like, perfect. That's exact. Get ready. So if you're doing these things consistently, which you've never done in between a job, you will be prepared and become a version of you that you've never been, never felt. What might you attract? You can see people's eyes just get bigger. They're like, that sounds cool. And I'm like, yeah, and I'm not making up some story. Like, this is doable stuff. You just haven't done it all together consistently during this little in-between time. But you're ready. You're ready. And that's why they get fired up talking to him. Because I'm like, if you were just like, oh, kind of hemming and hawing through this stuff, I wouldn't be fired up giving you this chat. This is like, you're 99% of the way. And it's like that 7.25 has to know, I need a job, I need money, but I'm not going to focus on that. I'm going to focus on becoming a 7.5, because that 7.5 is going to go, aha, see, I get it now. When I'm a better me, things are better. I handle, I manage, I adapt, I improvise, I'm good. All right, now I'm going to work real hard to be an 8. Wait a minute, that's all I'm going to do now. If I feel like this at a 7.5, can you imagine what it would be like to walk the earth as an 8? That version of me? How easier it would be? How much more clarity and perspective I would have? And how much more easier would that make my life as is? Nothing changed. Fact. He smiled. Because it just makes sense. It's like math. I'm not making up this big fairy tale that involves algebra. 2 2 is 4. Ta-da! Like, it's not fancy, but it's factual to me. It's like I'm, you know, regurgitating data. And he walked out. And I just, now again, I've been with this dude, you know, over 3 years. And I could just tell that he had kind of felt what I wanted him to feel. Like, get a little bit excited about the new you because you're almost there. And he's starting to understand that when he's better, it's a lot cooler than driving here going, wow, I just got to apologize because the whole way here I beat myself up because I let things run wild. But you came in going, huh, funny thing happened. I'm like, dude, you got to be proud of that. You got to be happy about that. But, you know, the big voice, like I said, it's hard for us to say, I am good, I'm better, I did well, when we've got things we got to work on, things that are still not perfect, things we still want. It's like, yeah, I get that. So that's why you have to have that strength between the ears to choose the thought that makes you feel better. Not a fictional thought, a true thought. Like when I talked to Evan, here's your good, here's what you've done consistently. Are you better? Yes. Boom. Well, there we go. How do you focus on that the whole time? And then I looked at him and I said, you know, I only got a client. I got another client. And I just, you know, whatever, seen him like 3 days ago. I go, yeah. And I go, and you've known me and you've heard me talk. I said, you know, about a month and a half ago, I was like, all right, I should come up with a plan. You know, I'll just make sort of a, this is what I'm going to do to attract more clients or whatever, you know, and I just didn't. Because again, there's a lot going on with Zen and my teeth and a broken nose and stuff. And I was like, if I was talking to anybody else, like, dude, you are not trying to excel right now. You're trying to deal and cope, get through without making it worse by letting stuff in your head that doesn't serve you. I said, Evan, I just made myself better. And I said, in the midst of me feeling better and feeling excited, I was at a gym I enjoy with a client I enjoy, and I attracted a client. And I said, that's my point. A month and a half ago, or 3 weeks ago, or 2 weeks ago, or whenever it was, I was like, okay, how do I let go more, I let go more, and I let go more. And why was I letting go? Because I'm brilliant. And I was making these fabulous psychic predictions. No, it was just life was squeezing me, going, keep worrying about money. I'm just going to squeeze every penny out of you. And I'm like, okay, I'm going to let that go. And like I said, did a little test, end of the month, poof. That just made me calm, made me peaceful. So I was like, well, if that's it, then I lower my overhead, keep being me, working on me. I'm running again. Zen's running again. We're at the beach again. Why am I going to let a bad thought in my head? Go be you. One client, two client. And I get to talk like this to a client. I'm like, Evan, you needed to hear one story, a very specific story. Someone that you knew, had history with, that you trusted, that you've, you know, kind of going, well, he went through this, and now it's just like he's writing this journal, but it's a map. Here's how you get through this. I said, X amount of time ago, I really needed, wanted client and money. And, you know, 3 months passed, 6 months passed, 8 months passed. And I'm like, well, all of a sudden that just kind of went away. And I felt fabulous because I'd worked on me, got through my stuff, gained clarity, perspective, all about the pro you. And got a client. And he knows me. And there's just quiet because he's getting it. That here's the exact map how to get there. Now, do you know when you're going to get that next job? Are you guaranteed it's going to be the best job that you've ever had? No. But I wasn't guaranteed two clients in 3 days. A month after, I was like, yeah, I'm not going to work on that or worry about that anymore. But you could just see that it was making sense, going, wow, I just got the, you know, the driver's, the wheel to the car that I own, and it's just up to me to drive it. So Evan gets ready, and he's getting ready to leave, and I said, what are you doing? He says, oh, we're going out with some friends, you know, with his wife, and going to go have lunch. And he had just, you know, paid me, had the money sitting there, and just kind of spontaneously, I grabbed a 20, and I said, here. He said, what? I go, pitch in for lunch. I go, that's me pitching in for your lunch. So, you know, he's thinking it's cool. It's just a great session, you know. And I was, well, I forgot what I was doing, but I walked by the window and I saw him leave, and it just hit me. This was kind of fun being me, I think. I go, I told him I didn't focus on what I really wanted and needed, which was income. I made me a better me, and I focused on that. And then I got to tell him that story, and it sank, and he felt that, and I knew he did it, and he believed me, he understood it. Like, if I make myself, you know, go from a 7 to a 7.5 to an 8, I'm going to attract better things and a better job, and I'm going to like that, so I'm going to do that. And I don't know what's ahead. I don't know what's coming. I can't tell. I go, I wasn't doing that stuff for a month and a half, not thinking about it, because I knew two clients were coming. And I'm like, Evan just got money. He didn't know it was coming. And as funny as that may sound, I didn't plan it, but it had just happened. So I called him in his car. I go, just saw you left. You cool to chat? He's like, yeah, what's up? And I go, well, I just wanted to reiterate my point. I said, you know, if you keep working on you, you become a better you, you won't know what's coming. He goes, yeah. I said, did you know you were going to get money, receive money today, this morning? He goes, no. I go, boom. And I hung up the phone. I hung up on him. You know, they hang up a phone anymore. That's how old I am. I used to actually take that phone thingy and hang it up on the other half of the phone thingy. I pushed a button and hung up on Evan. And then I text him. I said, true story. And then I told him. I said, I didn't have that planned. You just, at the end, you like 30 seconds after you said, I'm going to lunch, you walked out the door. And I was like, oh, here. I said, but you didn't know you were going to come over today or this morning and receive money. He's like, no. I said, well, there you go. And it was awesome because in a way, I didn't plan that, but it was perfect to kind of prove that point because I had no idea. I mean, I love that one gym, and my friend Scott's not going to be here for a while. Or he's not going to be here forever. He's going to leave in a while. But I'm like, you know, I never thought of, wouldn't it be great to get another client there while I'm training Scott? And that way I could, and again, not guaranteed, no idea. Dude met me for like 10 minutes, but he said, I'll pay you your top rate. Boom, and didn't hesitate and said, see you Wednesday. So I at least got that going for me. And again, my other online client that I just got. No, there's no guarantees. But again, to me, I was not saying, why am I not getting clients? I'm like, I'm better. I know I am. Why am I not getting clients? And here's where I'll end. Obviously, I wasn't ready yet. Because it was about a month or two ago. And I look back knowing, yeah, I had to deal with what I was going through. But it's not feel good. It's not fun. It's not rewarding. Shut up. You're here. You get to. And when you get done with that and things calm down, two wonderful opportunities are waiting for you. So shut up. And that's what I wish was going on in my head. That just clearly focus on that which you can. And it just seems like the other stuff works itself out, either fades away, answers itself, or smacks you in the head saying, well, now you got to do this, go. And you don't got to worry about it. You know, if there's a solution, don't worry about it. If there isn't a solution, don't worry about it. So there you go, people. Walking my path. Really trying to be humble about my flaws, my everything, but accepting them, being okay with them, and then slowly kind of moving that dial towards, well, here's my good. I'm going to work on that. I'm going to be thankful. I'm going to realize that I get to do these things. And I'm going to try to slow down. I'm going to try to be real comfortable in the quiet because it seems like I learned a lot these past 3 months in these past 6 months. And it wasn't because I was busy moving around, jamming, you know, gaining income or career opportunities. But it was insight and knowledge about myself, which to me is just invaluable. It's priceless. I love me some Tom right now. And it's hard to say that. But I do. I mean, I never felt comfortable. I didn't know myself. I didn't know what was that uneasiness. And, you know, a bunch of it was just given to me genetically, and a bunch of it was passed down, and a bunch of it was how I was raised, where I was raised, and community, social conditioning, friends, high school, all that stuff. Then you come out, and you're like, well, I want to be an adult, and, you know, half this stuff I don't even like or understand. And then I spent, you know, whatever, 25 to 45 just doing stuff as that. And I just think a lot of people function that way. And then come 48, my whole world shifted. And I moved back to LA alone. Small apartment that seemed huge because it was empty and it was quiet. I was alone with my thoughts. And I didn't go anywhere on a Sunday for a year and a half. Just sat there every Sunday because I didn't have to go anywhere. I didn't want to go anywhere. I didn't want to talk to anybody. I just felt like the whole world was spinning around me and I was in the center. Like a holiday would pass and I'd be like, wow, people are getting together and gathering and I'm just like, phone's not ringing. I'm not calling anybody. I mean, that was not a bright, happy time. But my sister is not here anymore. So she doesn't get to have bad moments, bad days, bad weeks, bad seasons. I get to. How I respond, on me. And that's what I learned. I started walking that path of being thankful and mindful of just that. Yep, this is my place, my clothes, my stuff, my everything. It's just, this is me. And just walk that pro-you path. And then, boom, felt good enough, started the podcast. I was just happy it started. And then all of a sudden it was just, okay, it's you alone in that microphone and you're going to share. It's going to be your journal. But it's going to help you grow. It's going to help you heal. And that's going to be amazing enough. But along the way, you're going to create some positive energy. And you're going to help some people as well. And then you're going to get to a point where you're comfortable, you're confident, and you're convicted. And you're just telling people, come to my well, buy the water I sell. It's real. And it's free. You just have to have the courage to ask. Reach out. Deem yourself worthy. But when you start walking that path, you start drinking that Kool-Aid, you start believing and having faith in yourself, life can be pretty cool. You are worth it. Say that, I feel it. And I go, pro you, for you. This is for you, about you. You being better. Yes, just this little moment is that important. Because it might be the only moment where you're this focused on just you. Pro you moment. If you can sit on the floor and close your eyes. Cross your legs. We'll begin. Draw that inhale through the nose. Exhale out the mouth. Elongate it. Slow it down so you can experience it. When you're experiencing it, you're connecting the mind and the body. You're making yourself present in this moment, which maximizes the benefit of this moment. That's the reward. That's the fruit of your labor. Navel pulled into the spine, neutral neck, shoulders over the hips. Eyes closed in the nose, out the mouth. These are the thoughts occupying the space between your ears. Something else enters. Kindly, calmly ask it to leave and return to your breath. Do that to the best of your ability for 180 seconds. And I will let you know when time is up. You may begin now. Thank you. congratulations on another successful pro-you moment. Gather those, collect those, deem yourself worthy. The most important thing is deciding that you're worth it. The second most important thing is deciding to begin. Not with it all thought out. Not because you feel wonderful. Not even because you believe it can happen yet. But just enough for you to just start in the smallest way, shape, or form today. And then start building that belief based on the factual data that you receive from the fruits of your labor. A little bit of focus on you. You will receive back. A little bit of time and energy spent on you, you will receive back. But you need to slow down and be patient with yourself. With your expectations. Begin that pro-you list. It's the list of things that you can do that make you feel like a better you. So you can start walking that path and building that foundation that you so deserve. Peace. And God bless.